we ever. Good morning. Good to see you all today. Welcome to our worship service. It's a beautiful morning. When I came over about 7, I was like, oh, we could be at 0. We could be at 10 below. It's just pretty nice, and praise the Lord for that. Makes the winter shorter for us here. So welcome. A couple announcements to go over before we go on with the service. Ladies, women of the church, next Sunday after church will be your annual business meeting. So where the allocation of donations to mission work, that's what's discussed, amongst other things. So please remember that, and let's try to have a good turnout for that. Also, then the following Sunday, so 2 weeks from today, will be our annual meeting of the congregation. As we've done the last few years, we'll have dinner. This year, the women of the church are hosting that. We'll have dinner after church for everybody, and then at 12:45, we'll begin our annual meeting. And then you see the nominations to the consistory. I will verbally go through those as I'm supposed to. So the consistory has made nominations, so Ken Stepanek has been nominated for elder, and that would be in Fred Schultz's place as he finishes his term as an elder. Thank you, Fred, for your service. Shirley Mettler has also been nominated as elder. That would be for Donna Sattler's term, and thank you, Donna. She's also served as co-treasurer, worked very hard as that. And then Tyler Miller, and that would be for Robert Heckenleibel's position as his is ending as deacon. So to each of you, thank you for your service. As it says there, there can be nominations from the voting membership from the floor at the annual meeting. So today we have a youth group meeting after church with dinner. So that's for the high schoolers. Hopefully the parents are aware of that. I want to read a thank you here from the Menno Olivet Care Center. You know what? We took a Christmas Day offering for our care center, which it was, oh, what was it, Jennifer? Just $5,511. So praise the Lord. What a wonderful gift. So I have a thank you from Kelsey Birch, who is our administrator. She said to Salem Reformed Church, thank you for your generous donation to the Menno Olivet Care Center. We appreciate your continued support. Our residents and staff are grateful for your church and everything you do for our care center. So we praise the Lord for that. On a good note, this last week, Tuesday, I was able to go in to the dining room and have a worship service for the residents, which is another step forward. And it was great to see. I had to wear my mask. Several months back, I had to wear a gown and gloves. I said, I don't know if I can play the piano with gloves on, but I'll try. Gloves weren't bad. It was the mask fogging up my glasses and trying to see the notes. That was the bigger part. But it was wonderful to be able to do that. Couple other things, and then Ann is going to have an announcement. So Meals on Wheels. Our month is February, our church's month. There is a calendar on the information cabinet in the narthex. There's a lot of empty spaces, and I know it's just February 10th, but please try to look at that afterwards, see where you can help. Also, next Sunday is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, a very important day. We will take a special offering for the Alpha Center in Sioux Falls. On that day, we will have a speaker. I don't know who it is yet. It's not Dr. Unruh. I know that. He's not available this year, but they will have somebody here to share about their work with us next Sunday. So, Ann, we'll see if they got your microphone on. Can you put her microphone on? Thanks.
So we just want to announce... We just want to announce the ladies, we've decided on our Bible study that we're going to be starting on January 31st, and it's by Priscilla Shire. It just came out this month. She did it last year. It's called Faith and Fire, and it's about Elijah. So we're sorry that we are so late in getting this announcement out, but you know how our fall went. It was a little bit different, right? So anyway, if you're interested in coming to that on Sunday morning, or Wednesday mornings, you can please sign up. Out there will be a sign-up sheet out there. And if you would like a book, that's the more important thing, because you can come anytime to the Bible studies. But if you would like a workbook, we are ordering them this week by Wednesday, I believe. So just put no if you don't want to, or yes, and that will be out there. If you have any questions, you could ask Jennifer, Joanne, or myself. We'd love to see everyone there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day that you have made. Thank you for the mild temperatures that you are blessing us with in this month of January. It is beautiful. And Father, it's with joy in our hearts that we come to this sanctuary to worship you. Father, we do need you. In incredible ways, we know that all the time, and we know that you never leave us, you never forsake us. But Father, we also know this has been a difficult week for our nation, and our eyes are fixed upon you. And we know that you, Lord, are our one defense. As we've sung, you are our righteousness. You are everything to us. Lord, when we feel in ourselves we cannot stand, we fall upon you every day, asking for your strength in our lives. and your guidance and your direction and your discernment. And so how awesome it is that we can come. We pull apart from the world and we come into your presence in this sanctuary to seek your face, to worship you together, to be encouraged by your word and just strengthened through the fellowship of the believers. So Lord God, you are sovereign over all. We know that. And we ask that you fill this place with your glory and your goodness. For Lord, you know every one of us by name. You know how many hairs are upon our heads or not. And you know, Lord, what the needs are. And they are many, whether they are physical needs of healing, whether they are emotional needs of uplifting, whether it is a spiritual need of refreshing, whether it is a financial need, a relationship need, Lord, we lift all these to you and ask and thank you for moving among us and touching lives and touching hearts by the power of your Spirit this day. For we do praise your name and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is going to be number 82. Do we have words today? Okay. Thank you. Let's stand together and we'll sing this number 82. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Beautiful hymn of praise and prayer, all in that. The words are wonderful. Take a moment, greet each other however you want to before you're seated. We will have our sharing of joys, concerns, and I have a couple things that I'll start off with. First, an update on Logan Clout, and if you're thinking, why don't you have him in there? There is a reason, that's all I'll tell you. So if you need to know other than that, you can ask me personally, okay? There's a reason I'm not going to announce it, too. So Logan, we thought last Sunday he was going to have surgery. Tuesday, that all changed. And as the family went to Rochester to Mayo Clinic for second opinion that day and came home and then went back Friday, they met with the neurologist. And Tomorrow they meet with a neurosurgeon. Maybe not everybody knows. We have some visitors here. So Logan graduated from Menno in 2019 and is a sophomore down at USD, and they found a brain tumor just a week ago, a little over on the frontal lobe of his brain. So that's what's going on. His parents own Clout's service station here. So we definitely, I know you all have been, we continue to pray for him and see what the plan is this week. Also, prayers for Matt and Tricia Fisher. Tricia's grandma passed away out in Philip right this past Wednesday, and they will be heading out there this Wednesday for service on Thursday, I believe. Yeah, okay. Our snowbirds, I'm told I could say this, or not. Well, I started. Willard and Darlene are heading south to Arizona this week, so we pray for safe travels for them and the time that you are down there as well. God bless you, and we'll miss you. Okay. Any other thing over here on this side? Raylan? On Tuesday is David Herbold's birthday. Happy birthday, David. Anything else? No? You what? Oh, yay for Medicare. Yay. It's funny how when we get closer to that, that's an exciting birthday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to be 16, couldn't wait to be 21, and then it sort of cruises. Micah. On Thursday is Brian Gehring's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Brian. Okay, Steve.
Prayers for our country during this time of transition.
Yes, amen. Prayers for our country. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, over here. Melanie.
Greg's birthday was last week on the 6th, and he's still in his
60s. Okay. Yep, Greg Wilcoxon had a birthday last Wednesday on the 6th, and he is still in his 60s for a couple years. Yeah. All right. Let's back. Oh, Steve.
Mark Goldine called me, texted me, and told me that his dad, Larry, passed away this past. I think it was
Friday. Okay. Okay, sorry to hear that. Yeah, Larry Tolzine, a lot of you remember and know Larry, passed away on Friday. He had been living in Arizona. Okay, prayers for the family. Thank you. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Thank you that you hear every prayer that is whispered and uttered to you, and you see and you know all. You are the all-knowing one. Father, we ask for comfort for Matt and Tricia and their family at the homegoing of her grandmother. We pray for the Tolzine family at the homegoing of Larry and others. Lord, you are the God of all comfort. You tell us that in your word, and we thank you for the comfort of the Spirit of God to these families during this time. Minister to them, we pray. Father, for Logan Clout, we continue to lift him up and his parents, Larry and Lisa, as they meet tomorrow with the neurosurgeon. Guide them. Father, you've given doctors, surgeons, you've given them great wisdom and great skill, and we thank you for it. And just guide them in the decisions that lie ahead for Logan. And let the procedure, the surgery, go well, we ask, as you guide their hands. And as I always pray, Lord, more than that, we look to you, Jesus, as our healer, our great physician. And thank you for your power already at work there. Lord, give peace to this family during a very uncertain time. Thank you that you are sovereign and watching over them, Lord Jesus. We pray for Willard and Darlene as they head south to Arizona this week. And thank you for your traveling mercies for, if it's Brian or whoever the chaperone is, to get them there. We ask for your angels to have charge over them with safe travels and health, Lord, too, that you keep them safe that way. And those that they are in that little park with when they go. Lord, I want to lift up, I know we have some expectant mothers in our midst this morning, three or four, I would say at least, and we thank you for each one of them and those little ones that you are knitting together within their womb. Precious they are in that secret place, Lord, being fearfully and wonderfully made as only you can do. And we ask that you watch over them, Lord, as for each the day of delivery draws nearer. We pray that that time will go well when it does come. And thank you for strength to them and their husbands and families through this time, Lord. We rejoice with them, Father, in Jesus' name, as we pray for our nation. Lord, yes, it has been a very difficult week. Our hearts are grieved in many ways that we have come to a point such as this. But Lord, we know that you are in control and our eyes are fixed upon you. And Father, we trust in you as there has been earnest prayer throughout this year, I think more than what I have ever seen. And I know you hear all of these prayers. We stand against deception and lies and the works of the devil that would try to destroy this nation, that would try to divide this nation against itself. We bind the activities of the works of darkness. For your word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, Father, we know we have fallen far from that, from our founding. And we do ask for your forgiveness. For that, we repent of it, Father. As your word says in Chronicles, that if we would seek your face and repent of our sin, that you would see and you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. And we ask for that, Lord God, by your mercies, we ask for that. And by faith, we thank you for it. Be with our troops, Lord, so faithfully serving at home and abroad. Carmen deployed, Troy Heckenleibel deployed, Derek Fisher deployed, and many others, Lord, enlisted in our bulletin. You know them all, and we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them all. For our law enforcement, for our first responders, we have many in our congregation. Lord, for those, the nurses and doctors and those serving medically on the front lines, we pray over them. Give them strength in yet still a difficult time in our nation as we ask for healing from the pandemic. Lord, but more than that, we ask for healing spiritually. Desperately, we need the outpouring of your Spirit upon this land, a great awakening. Father, we've read of them in the past, and we are long overdue. Long overdue. Help us to be your light, the light of the world, Jesus, as you said we would be, the salt of the earth. Shine through our lives to the lost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 3 before we receive the offering box. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Boy, we think he is, don't we? We think he is slow many times. No, it says he is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's stand. We'll sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology. Thank you, Father, for such a beautiful prayer that was given to us by our Lord and our Savior. And we do ask, Father, that thy will would be done on earth in our nation as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation as we work together to serve you, as we bring our offerings into this storehouse, as you instruct us to in your word, Lord, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, but with joyful hearts for all that you have given to us in incredible ways. Health, life, strength, blessings beyond measure, we give the first fruits to you. And thank you for that. Thank you for each family and home represented here, Lord, providing for their needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus, as you say you do. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. We confess our faith now together to you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Boys and girls, how are you all doing today? Anybody go and run around their house in the snow, out of their house in the snow barefoot?
No.
Oh, good. You did? Did you do it? Oh, was it fun? Okay. Well, do you have the same Bible? Yeah, I'm using this one today because I really like how it tells our verse we're going to talk about today. So what is your most valuable possession or toy that you own or game? What's your most valuable toy?
Bible.
Your toy? Well, how about your toy? The Bible is a very good answer. That is. But what's your most valuable toy or thing that you have? A Wii. A game?
iPad.
Anybody else? What is it?
Thinking putty.
Wow, I've never heard of that. You don't have to tell me about that. Do you know, Annabeth? Anybody else? A tablet? Those are all good things. Bo? Do you have something that's your favorite? Playing the Wii. I like to play that too. Volleyball. Okay, one more. And that's it. Mario, did you remember? iPad, one more.
A Nintendo.
Okay, you have all these valuable things that mean a lot to you, right? So where do you keep them? Where do you keep them?
In your
house?
In your head.
You keep them in your head? Oh, my goodness. You have a lot of things in your head, right? What? Somewhere where no one can see them. You sometimes keep things, your most valuable things, in a special place. I remember when I was your age, I had a drawer that I kept my most valuable things. Because they're special and you want to protect them, right? Well, look here. Somebody has some valuable things here. This is a cup, and it was from the Navajo Reservation. And in it, I put some valuable things in there. All right, I did. I put some money, but this isn't just any ordinary money. This money is from Hong Kong. This is something that my dad got when he was on one of his trips overseas. And then I got these really cool coins that he gave us, too, that are really different. These are actually, they're back in 1941, I think, or 1921. They're really cool coins from our United States, and they're valuable. So I've kept them in here, and this is something else that's more like a toy that's kind of valuable. Nathan, our son, got this when he went to China on a trip. It's a little ball with pandas on it, and it can roll it, and it makes music. These are valuable. I decided to stick them in this. And this is just a cup that's made of what?
Wood.
Not wood. Clay. It's made of clay, right? Well, where do you think that God puts his valuable stuff? Well, there's valuable things in heaven for sure. Jesus is in heaven, right? And if we don't know, where do we always look? In the Bible. So I'm going to look in the Bible here. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, well, first of all, it says, we are like clay jars. God's saying that we're like this clay jar. That's kind of odd, isn't it? God says we're like this clay jar. But you know why he says that? Because these two clay jars and this clay pitcher, are they the same?
No.
Are you the same as each other?
No.
Do they have different colors in them?
Yeah.
Is our skin color different?
Yeah.
Is one taller and one shorter?
Yeah.
Are they used for different things?
Yeah.
God says that's how we are. He has made us. And he compares us to just jars of clay. Something that's not so valuable. Really? But it's what's in us. Let's keep reading what it says here. It says, we are like jar clays in which this treasure is stored. Treasure is in this. Treasure is in you and me. Do you think it's going to be like money and toys? What do you think is going to be in this one? What do you think is going to be? Water? Is it? No. Money? No. No. In this, and it tells us in the verses before, is who? Jesus. In each one of us, God has put Jesus in us when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior. That is a treasure. It is a treasure because it's Jesus, and he's in each one of us. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus lives in you.
Jesus.
No, you're not supposed to look at me. You're supposed to look at each other. Look at each other. We'll have your parents do it too. Look at each other. Say, Jesus lives in you. Now look at the other person next to you and say, Jesus lives in you. And he does live in us. And that is what God said is the most valuable treasure. When we get Jesus, we get love, freedom, joy, forgiveness, hope. We get a friend. We get peace. We get help when we need it. And we get gifts. He gives us gifts. And this is not everything that we get in Jesus. But we get all of these things when we get him. And he gives it to us in us that are jars of clay. And does he want us just to keep it in there?
No.
In us? Does he want us to keep all these things we know about Jesus in us?
No.
No, he wants us to show others and give it to others and forgive others and love others and be kind to others and have joy even when things don't go well, even when we lose the game or do bad on a test or aren't as tall as we want to be or whatever it is, don't have the neatest clothes we think, we can have joy because who's in us? Jesus is in us. And that's what he wants us to share with others, this treasure, and Mike's going to talk more about it, that is in us, in each one of you. We have Jesus, and we need to remember that, especially in these days that we're living in, that are hard, that we can't explain everything, that we don't understand everything, but we have Jesus, and if we have him, we have everything we need, okay? All right, let's pray. Fold your hands, close your eyes. Father, we thank you so much that you've given us the greatest gift, and that is Jesus. That you've forgiven us of all of our sins through Jesus. And not only that, we get so much more. We get everything that we need when we have Jesus in our lives. And he is in our lives once we ask him in. We are all just jars of clay. We are all just people. We all make mistakes. But we have Jesus in us, the one who doesn't. Thank you for helping these boys and girls and us adults to give what we have to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You can get your papers.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. We have a special music this morning by Caden Fisher. He's going to sing and play. I love to tell the story. Thank you, Caden, very much. Well, I guess I'll wait for you to sort of get back there to the projector, huh? He's doing double duty today. I've been after him to sing for quite a while because he is a senior, but he won't be that far away for all you Jackrabbit fans. Yeah. I said, well, you'll have to sing every other Sunday now. Thank you, Caden. It's beautiful and such a gift God has put within you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, as we live in a world where things are changing daily, where things come at us from every different direction and angle and viewpoint and thought, there is one thing that we know is true. That is forever settled in heaven, and that is your word, the very living word of God. Absolute truth it is, inerrant, infallible, inspired, and how blessed we are to have it so readily available to us to look into, to learn from, to stand upon. And so, Father, today I ask that you open the eyes of our understanding. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit. You know, Lord God, the thoughts have been rolling all around. So I thank you for your help and guidance and direction this day. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen. We preach Jesus. Certainly, yes, this has been a very difficult week. And there is much prayer going on, and there needs to be much prayer. In all of this, in all of the lot of this of last this past year, what happened at the nation's capital, what happened in the months before in cities around our nation being burned and looted and rioted, evidences of a nation departing from God's word is what it is. Paul lived in very difficult times as well. Very difficult. If we'd go over to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, you could read the list of all. He goes through all the trials that he went through, even left for dead more than once. But in all this, in those situations of his life and ministry, which apply to us just the same, he said, we do not lose heart. Verse 1, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. I didn't go as far as verse 16, but if I would, you'd see verse 16 starts out same way. Therefore, we do not lose heart. New Living says, we never give up. Now, part of this is meaning as we go through the struggles of life, in one way it's talking about growing weary, growing discouraged. Some use the word being burnt out in our faith. But more than that, I was reading the commentary of John MacArthur's, and he brought out more than that is the fact of we do not give in to evil. Now, number one, when I say that we do not give in to evil, it's talking in our own lives, our resisting the temptations of sin and the works of the devil. We don't give in to that. Certainly, it goes broader than that. We stand for him. The one commentary said this church at Corinth was a church, one of those churches that nobody would want to pastor. It was a difficult church. We know in Scripture we have the first and second letters to the church at Corinthians. We also know from what is written in those two letters, there were two more letters that Paul wrote to this church. And one is even called the severe letter, where he really got on them. It was a challenge. So as I'm looking through this, the question is, you see, what was it that held Paul steady in his life and his ministry? It's the same thing that holds us steady. Same thing. We learn these principles. So you might say, well, I'm not in the ministry, Pastor Mike. No, you are. If you are God's child, you are in the ministry, one way or the other. Might not be one of the what we call fivefold ministries that's listed in the Scriptures, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. Yeah, you might not be one of those, but you are in the ministry. And jumping over, we're not to point number one yet, okay? So if you're looking, where are you? 2 Corinthians 5, which I have part of this in the meditation of the bulletin. Listen to this. Verse 19 and 20. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Aren't you glad? We just celebrated Christmas. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. To reconcile means to remove the barrier. There was that barrier. We know that chasm that was fixed. We here on earth, God the Father in heaven, the perfect fellowship that was from the beginning that Adam and Eve knew when they sinned was broken. And there was the gulf until Jesus came. If I draw it out, if you think of a canyon, you put the cross in there, and that's Jesus, and he bridged that gap, didn't he? That's the message of the gospel. Reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting men's, people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. You are. I am. An ambassador is his representative, ambassadors to other nations. We are Christ's ambassadors on this earth, and God is using us to speak to you. He was writing to that church, but he's using us to speak to this world in which we live. We urge you as though Christ himself were pleading with you, be reconciled to God. In other words, get saved in a nutshell. Receive Christ as Lord and Savior. So what held Paul steady through his life? Number one, his convictions. His convictions based on God's word. So back to verse 1 and 2 there. Therefore, since through God's mercy, it is God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, right here, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is our conviction. Based on God's word, standing on his word. And it is that conviction and these others that hold us steady, that keep us faithful in these difficult times. That's why he said, we do not lose heart. That verse, it was mid-November, I had to look it up, November 15th on a Sunday to be exact, when Jay sang the song, Take Heart by Matthew West. Based on these words of Christ, when he said the night before the cross, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I tell you, I've heard that verse more really in these last couple months in different ways. Amplified, where it says take heart, that says this way, be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Even yesterday, I was on a Zoom meeting with our regional fellowship, and the conference minister, Steve Gammon, those that were here when we came into the Four Seas, you remember there was a night early January, a Wednesday night. He was the conference minister at that time, and he came and shared with us for an informational meeting. Remember him? A dear man. So he was on that meeting. Now he was telling about the last couple years of his life. He also is a Navy chaplain and got called back into active duty. That's why he had to step down out of the position of conference minister. Served as a naval chaplain then for 5.5 years. Then went and pastored a church in Rhode Island. Then, and I jotted some stuff down as he was sharing with us. He was just, sometimes we can think, why it seems like nobody else is getting hit as hard as I'm getting hit. It might seem that in our circle of friends and acquaintances, but listen, in 2017, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. That is a deadly cancer. His father had died right at that time. He, being a minister, did the service. In 2018, of March, his wife Helen was diagnosed with breast cancer, started through all of that treatment. In August of that same year, Steve himself nearly died because he got a virus in his body in the midst of the cancer treatment that they were doing. In April of 2019, his mother died. He was able to do that funeral. In May of 2020, May 1st, the chemo wasn't working. None of that was working. They said, your only chance is stem cell replacement. And so he did. And he looked great. He has a big full beard. I'm like, whoa. But in the midst of him sharing on that conference yesterday, guess what verse he shared? John 16:33. And God, he actually wrote a book. It's called Walking with God Through Deep Valleys in the Midst of This, Devotions. So take heart. We do not lose heart. Paul said, we do not distort the word of God. We set forth the truth plainly. That must mean that people were and do distort God's word. And we know it is. We know it is. I'm going to share another example here in a little bit as we go on. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 4, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We preach Jesus. And that is what I have to do. And that is what I stand on. In the midst of all that's going on, we preach Jesus. Because he is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews tells us. He is the one that does not change in the midst of all that's coming at us and all the different reports of everything in every different way, and your head just sometimes spins. He does not change, nor does his word. Praise the Lord. We preach Jesus. In a world where this verse is unpopular, we preach it. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, can you say no one?
No one.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that shouldn't be a shock, should it? All through the Old Testament, we saw God telling his people, do not get in with these other nations that worship these false gods and idols. Do not intermingle with them. Do not marry with them. They'll pull you off into that. And sure enough, what did Israel do? Again and again, got off into idolatry. Solomon, the wisest man supposed to be, had how many wives, and all those wives from different countries. Oh, honey dear, will you build a temple for my God, please? Oh, yes, I will. And they were all on the hills around Jerusalem, and that led to their downfall and the split of that nation of Israel. And then we come in the New Testament. It didn't change. It did not change. Yet, the popular thing now is to see, oh, anything and everything goes. No, in Acts chapter 4, the early church, verse 12, Peter in his sermon says clearly, salvation is found in no one else. Say, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that is God's word. His conviction, secondly, his integrity. That's what kept him steady in life. His integrity. If you're reading through in the Salem Spire, through the Old Testament, we're reading through this year. Genesis 17 was this week. When Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to him. And I'm reading through in the Amplified Bible this year, just for a different translation. And he says to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me with integrity. Verse 2, back to Corinthians 4. Rather, we renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. We do not distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, Paul was not perfect. He knew his own sinfulness. He talked about it more than once. I have three verses in the outline there that you can look up later. In Romans 7, he says at one time, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And he answers the question, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He does. 1 Timothy, he talks about Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'm the least of all the apostles because I persecuted the church of God. If you're praying for unsaved loved ones, friends, don't give up. Don't think, oh, there's no hope for that one. Well, are they going around killing Christians yet? There's always hope. There is always hope. People, it's always been, it's nothing new, can twist and pervert God's word to any angle of their liking. Now, last Sunday morning, I'm assuming, I didn't get what time of day this happened, but it was the opening session of the 117th Congress of the United States of America. And maybe a lot of you have heard this, the opening prayer given by an ordained minister. You can Google it. Now, parts of the prayer, yeah, he quoted actually part in there from Numbers, the blessing that we use at times as a benediction. But that's just how Satan does with things. When he's twisting God's word, he's got to use just enough of the truth in there. Oh, I like that verse. And then comes the deception. And this is how that man ended his prayer, if you haven't seen it. In the name of the monotheistic God, okay, monotheistic means one, all right. Comma, now I'm saying comma, he didn't, but to break it up. I had to listen through that about five times to get that second name he was putting in that prayer. Brahma, B-R-A-H-M-A. You know who that is? That's a Hindu god. In the name of Brahma. Hindus have all kinds of gods. Oh, let's just cover it all. Let's just cover it all. Comma. And in the name of God, and I put little g, known by many different names, by many different faiths. Now, he's not talking denominations of Christian denominations. He's trying to cover it all because that's the popular thing to do nowadays. And then, if that isn't enough, he says, amen and a woman. Seriously, does he have any clue what the word amen even means? No, he does not. It, as we know, amen has nothing to do with the male gender sex. Zero. That's why I put in your bulletin our 129th question of the catechism. What does amen mean? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. That, to me, is blasphemy. And that's where things have come to. And I'm sure he got all kinds of accolades. Oh, what a beautiful prayer. Thank you for including my false god in there, and mine, and mine, and mine. No, there is one name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. I'm so thankful that Friday morning, when I had a text from Jackie Liebel, our athletic director, she said, "Pastor Mike, we're wondering if you would be willing to have a prayer at the basketball games tonight for Logan Clout and his family." I had to not think even one second about that. I said, "Absolutely. I would be honored and humbled to do so." In our gym. Isn't that wonderful? And she did not say to me anything like, "But Pastor Mike, now you know you can't pray in the name of Jesus," which I knew she wouldn't. What a blessing to be able to do that in our gymnasium, declare his name boldly in prayer and call upon the name of the Lord. What a blessing. And I don't know if you know this yet, but in the gym, if you look at, the bleachers are on the north wall, south wall, correct? I'm looking at Johnny, I think, right? Scoreboard is on that east wall where you have the, you know, the breakdown of the fouls and the points and all that. And underneath that, there's a big space. And we, through Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we got it approved by the school board. There's going to be a large, in metal letters, Monkfolds are doing it, "In God We Trust." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because in our state, they actually made it mandatory for all public schools 2 years ago to put "In God We Trust" somewhere in the public school. So when that came, the minimum requirement was 1 foot by 1 foot. And at that time, whoever had all the decisions, I don't know, that's what they did. Better than nothing. But it's like, really? And that way, yeah, that's where we got the ball rolling on this. That's when Carl Zabe, God bless him, I know he doesn't want attention, put "In God We Trust" on his big shed out there right across from the school. Which I love so very, very much. Number three, I don't know if we'll get through this all today. Number three, what held him steady? We'll go in a little in this. We might have to pick up next time. He was aware of the battle. Paul was aware of the battle that he was facing, and it is a spiritual battle that we are in. Clearly, we see in Corinthians that we do not fight against flesh and blood, and in Ephesians chapter 6, but against these principalities and powers of darkness. He also says, guess what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not physical. Swords, bullets, whatever, whatever. I'm not saying we can't have those. We need those. But that is not our primary warfare. It is spiritual. And it is in prayer, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ, because his name is above every name. And that is why the devil hates that name so much. And that is why it has come to the point in many universities, secular universities around the country, and schools and beyond, in our halls of government, where you can't, they are told, even pray in the name of Jesus. Because the devil hates that name, and he knows that's where the power is at. So you pray that boldly. So he talks here, even if our gospel is veiled, means hidden, you can't see it, right? It is veiled to those who are perishing, the lost. For the god of this age, who's that? That's Satan, the devil, yes, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Yeah, Satan blinds people's eyes. But we pray, we share the word, let the word, because what has happened? It says there in verse 6 of that chapter 4, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness.'" When did he say that? Let the light shine out of the darkness. Genesis 1, let there be light, wasn't the exact words. That's what he's going back to. God who said, let there be light, that was at creation, made his light shine in our hearts. What creation is that? The new creation. Did you ever think about that in that way? God who said, let light shine out of darkness, the beginning creation, made his light shine in our hearts. That's our salvation when we become a new creation, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Oh, thank God he did. Thank God he did. But we all know, as I said earlier, we have loved ones, friends, co-workers who don't know Jesus, who maybe are very opposed to you even telling them about it. We know some. They will not hear it. Do we just give up and say, forget you then? Go to you know where. No, we pray. We have some we pray for every morning by name. Father, work in that person's heart and life. Bring laborers across his path, where he works, who he associates with, people who will share your love with him, people who will share your word with him. We pray. Pray against Satan in Jesus' name. Remove those blinders that have deceived him so terribly. And we pray, and we keep praying. Because as I say, as long as there is breath, there is always hope. As long as there is life, there is always hope. I'll give you this last one, but I'm going to wrap up here today because I don't have time to... Well, I could, but... The little ones, I know it gets long for the little ones. He's aware of the responsibility. That's your blank there, okay? That way we can take our time with it more. He's aware of the responsibility. These same things are what hold us steady as we walk through the craziness at times of this world. Let me pray. Father, oh, your word is so incredible. We love it so much. We love you all the more, Jesus. You are the living word. We know you're working, even when we don't see it, because you are the way maker, that song. You are the way maker, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness, those other phrases there. You are above all, and we trust you. You are our solid rock, upon whom we stand. Thank you for guiding us individually, as a local church, in our community, for guiding us as a nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We will sing our closing hymn, The Solid Rock. You can stand together, please. please receive the benediction, and I will read that one today from Numbers chapter 6. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Now, before you're seated, I had said to Joanne on Thursday, I think maybe we need to sing God Bless America. And I've had two or three people come to me since. Can we sing that again? I said, yes. This is a prayer for our nation. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music.